would sing the halfway through the week song, but we're not quite there yet. Plus, who wants to hear me sing? Instead, I'll say this is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Wednesday, the 22nd of February, 2023. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Nick DeCorvo, a writer for the Mac Observer. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Ken.
Second part of today's show, Florida's Attorney General has made an unusual request of Apple. Nick's going to have that story for us in a bit. First, though, I guess, really there are two messages to the first story. Apple is evil, and Gen Z Apple users are insufferable ATMs, I think, is the story that we're getting. It's from the Financial Times. They ran a really weird piece because it's right there in their name, Financial Times. You would think that they would look at some of the stats that we're going to throw out in this story and say, well, that certainly sounds financially sound. Instead, though, what they did was they sort of did this whole story that's like half Apple is an amazing business and Apple is hurting the feelings of people who don't use Apple products. So here are some of the facts that they threw out. Gen Z users, this is people born after 1996. Were you born after 96?
86.
You're 86. Okay, so no, you're not in this group then. You're a millennial.
I am the worst one.
Well, it depends on who you ask, but anyway. People born after 1996, Gen Z users make up 34% of all iPhone users in the U.S., versus 10% for Samsung, according to data from Attain, which is an ad tech data platform. When Canalys did research in Western Europe, they found that 83% of Apple users under the age of 25 plan to keep using iPhone, whereas when they asked the same question about people under 25 using Android, less than half that number plan to stick with Android.
Yeah, and that was probably the most... Well, there's another statistic that I found interesting, which we'll get to, but that one was the one that really kind of threw me through a loop because Android isn't keeping anybody around.
Well, I don't hear in that stat that the people who are using Android won't use Android. What I hear is they have no commitment to using Android, right?
You're right.
Because like the iPhone people are saying, yeah, I'm definitely going to use iPhone next time, whereas the Android people seem kind of ambivalent. Now, the question is, if they don't see anything on the Android side and they go ahead and go over to the iPhone, do they then become part of that large group of people who are never going back, or would they switch back and forth? Which I've known a couple of people who have switched back and forth for a while.
Yeah, I know. I got a couple people like that too. They'll go iPhone for a little bit and they switch to Android. They must just love transferring stuff.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, honestly, my sister was an Android user. She went with an iPhone and she hated it. And so she's been Android ever since. I do have this one other friend who was all Android all the time. He has switched over to an iPhone now. I don't know whether he'll go back or not. And then there's this one other person I know who's back and forth every now and then. Mostly, it's not a back and forth thing. Shannon Cross of Credit Suisse says the strength of the Apple ecosystem creates a moat that's fairly impenetrable by the competition. Really makes it hard to change the trajectory. Apple's just going to keep gaining share over time as far as she's concerned. And here's the thing. It's not just about the iPhone, obviously. Globally, says the Financial Times, for every 100 iPhones that Apple ships, Apple sells 26 iPads, 17 Apple Watches, and 35 pairs of AirPods. That's according to stats from Canalys. What's funny to me is that doesn't even talk about the services thing, because Apple is approaching a billion paid subscriptions, you know, maybe by, well, certainly by this time a year from now, assuming nothing terrible goes wrong.
Right.
I mean, Apple is, it's not just about the hardware it's selling, but it's also selling that hardware. It's really raking it on services, though.
Mm-hmm.
By contrast, Samsung, for every 100 smartphone shipments that they get, they sell fewer than 11 tablets per 100, fewer than 6 smartwatches and 6 wireless earbuds. Or maybe it was 6 smartwatches and 6 wireless earbuds. Point is, they're not having the halo effect that the iPhone has, it seems.
Yeah, and that was a real eye-catching one for me as well. Just because it really shows the depth of Apple's ecosystem. You know, it's not just the hardware end, but it's the software end too. But another thing to consider is that like Apple's just been in the game way longer, and they've been able to have the time to develop this larger umbrella.
As far as personal electronics, you mean?
Right, of course, yeah. Just their whole ecosystem in general.
I mean, it is kind of interesting. I talked earlier this week about, I guess it was yesterday, on yesterday's Daily Observation podcast. Jeff and I were talking about TV and what the heck Apple is trying to do in TV. And I talked about the fact that I have always loved the fact that from the outside, it has felt to me for a number of years like being an Apple customer is like being the frog that's in the pot of water that's, you know, the temperature's going up slowly. You end up in an Apple ecosystem before you even realize what's going on, it kind of feels like. And that's the thing that I think Apple does really well. It's like, yeah, here's this thing, here's this other thing. I like both of those things. And then they give you some kind of bridge. It might be a third device or it might be a service. And all of a sudden you're like, you know, how can I walk away? So here's the thing. What I found interesting about this coming from the Financial Times is you would think that just those stats, that would be your story as far as the Financial Times is concerned. They're doing all this stuff. They're making tons of money. They're growing their user base. They're locking in, you know, consumers for probably decades, like individual consumers for probably decades. But the piece actually spent a whole lot of time focused on how haughty, I would say, Gen Z can be about their Apple ecosystem versus people who use Android, especially when it comes to the stigma of the green bubble.
Well,
that and the lower quality of images and videos. I mean, once you go from iMessage to SMS, they talked to a 24-year-old CEO of one company who said a green message, anyone with an Android throws off the entire chat, because now the whole thing has to be SMS. So the social pressure to get an iPhone is pretty insane, she said.
And I read that and I had to think, so have you actually ever had the pleasure of being in like an all blue group chat?
I hate group chats. So I'm not sure, honestly. I do have a couple. I'm one in particular where a friend of mine will write to a bunch of us, and I have no idea who the green bubbles are because they're not in my contacts. I don't really care that much. Now, I do have this other friend, one of the ones I was talking about earlier, who made the switch from Android to iPhone. We were in a group chat, like four or five of us, I think, back when two of them had Android and three of us had iPhone. And now we all have iPhone, but we all use Signal for our group chat. And the reason we do that is because when we were separated, one of the Android users hated the fact that we would react like, you know, with a tap back, and they weren't able to see clearly what it was that we were doing. And so they were like, can we start using, it was WhatsApp at the time, but then they got upset with Facebook. And so they're like, let's move to Signal. And even though we've all had iPhones for well over a year now, we're still in this one Signal group chat because, you know, it's just where we ended up. Now, I should say really quickly, for the Gen Z people who are, you know, committed, dyed in the wool, you know, iPhone till we die, it's not just about social pressures. There was a 26-year-old marketing dude that they talked to. He said he would never consider an Android phone, not because of any social anything, but because he would lose the seamless connectivity that he currently enjoys between his iPhone, his Apple Watch, and his MacBook Air.
Yeah, and the great reference to the frog in a boiling pot of water, because when I got my iPhone back when Verizon first offered them, that's pretty much what happened to me. You know, after that, it was at first it's the iPhone, then you find yourself getting the MacBook, and then next thing you know, you're just using everything Apple. And it's a great marketing tactic. It's a great strategy. Is it one that Samsung's emulating well? I don't know.
I mean, apparently not, based on the stats in the Financial Times piece. But I don't know. Well, the Financial Times, I will say, I mean, while they are kind of, they're sort of on their high horse about how high horse Gen Z iPhone users can be, I mean, you can't argue with the financial sense of the whole thing. I mean, it just struck me as weird how much time the Financial Times spent saying, oh, I feel so terrible for these non-Apple users, while Apple is making the financial sense, the Financial Times might say.
something I found interesting, which I didn't believe at first, and then I kind of checked my own stats, and it turns out I'm not too far off. But according to them, Gen Z uses their phone up to 6 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was impossible at first. And then I went and looked at my own battery stats, and it turns out, yeah, I'm at about four.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of curious. I should go check mine. I know that when, the whole thing that's happened with Twitter over the past few weeks and the third party, whatever, I'm spending much less time on my phone. I'll bet if I graphed it, it's much, much less now. You can spend a lot of time on your phone without realizing it. I do kind of wonder how much less I'm spending now that that's not there. And coming up in just a moment, Nick does have a story for us from the Panhandle, not that one, from the Sunshine State. Yes, that one. He'll tell us what's going on in a moment. First, though, you know what you could be listening to right now? Me telling people about your business, about your nonprofit, about your app, about your podcast. Whether you've got a special event on the horizon or a special product that you just know that people will love, a great way to get the word out is by advertising on the Daily Observations podcast. Backbeat Media has handled sales for this show since its inception. They know our numbers, they know our audience, but what they want to get to know is your business. How are you looking to grow? Who are you looking to reach? Backbeat has a range of shows across many different demos and topics. They're not a clearinghouse for ads. They're a team of professionals looking to earn your trust, earn your business, and get you results. Find out more by visiting their site, backbeatmedia.com, B-A-C-K-B-E-A-T, backbeatmedia.com. And tell them we sent you. Nick DeCorville is with us today. He is a writer for the Mac Observer online at macobserver.com. So Apple's had sort of a surprising request from down Florida way. The Disney World one, not the Disneyland one. What's the story, Nick?
So a Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody wants Apple and Google to notify users when an app is in an app store, in their app store, is owned by a foreign entity. So Moody notes that this is because of potential national security risks. So Moody penned a letter to both Tim Cook as well as Google CEO Sundar Pichai, asking that both companies alert customers when an app downloaded from one of their app stores is owned or developed by a foreign entity. So within the letter, she actually looks at two different examples. So the first one, she looks to TikTok, which is developed out of China, and states that the app has been flagged by national security experts as, quote, posing a risk to both privacy and user information. Additionally, Moody also looks at the Russian company PushWoosh, which has helped create code that has been found in thousands of apps throughout the App Store, including the U.S. Army and the Center for Disease Control. So currently, right now, the Apple App Store does list developers while also linking to their respective websites. However, the store does not list nationalities. However, users can typically suss it out if they click through to a website. So what I found interesting as well concerning TikTok is that FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr believes a nationwide TikTok ban is inevitable. He was quoted saying, "I don't believe there's a path forward for anything other than a ban." So after reading all that, the only thing I can think was after reading Moody's letter and whatnot, somebody on Apple Insider actually said a great comment saying the national security thing is crackpot material, but having the information is good. And I'm willing to agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure why it matters. She talked in her letter to Cook about, you know, the spy balloons and other technological pinatas at which the U.S. military has been taking shots lately, right? It's not just about the App Store as far as she's concerned. It's a whole bunch of stuff. Although what that has to do with the App Store, I don't quite know. I feel like it might be kind of fear-mongering. I'm not sure. Here's what she did say, though. The incidents are not one-offs and emphasize the importance of adding additional protections to software products, especially mobile applications, so the consumers can make informed decisions regarding accepting or declining the potential risks associated with such apps, including, you know, the nature and scope of information that they choose to share. It's that part that I actually found interesting, because when I covered the App Store privacy labels for the checklist when they were announced and when they started showing up in the App Store sometime over a year ago now, I was like somewhere between amused and horrified to find out that those are all self-reported. So, I mean, barring complaints or barring, like, you know, real signs of malfeasance, Apple is not really digging in there, you know, comparing and contrasting what the app developers say they're doing with data or what data they say they're getting to what they're actually doing or what they're actually getting. And personally, I do think that Apple should be doing more in that respect.
Yeah. So it's a complicated situation. I mean, when it comes to just like the handling of information, some companies are doing better than others in a lot of ways. Some companies are doing a lot worse than each other in a lot of ways. I mean, when it comes to like the handling of disinformation or false information, I don't think Facebook's necessarily hitting it on the head exactly. But at the same time, I think they're at least sometimes pushing forward in the right direction. And then to only compound matters worse, how much government involvement do you really want in your tech? And I think that's what just kind of makes this whole thing so nuanced. I don't know if that's the word. Okay, it's so complicated.
Let's back up for a second, because
yeah,
she's not suggesting what I'm suggesting, right? Ms. Moody is right. Saying, put a label on it if it's from outside the U.S. And in fairness, it's kind of hard to read in her letter. Sometimes it seems like she's talking about countries that are, you know, known threats. Like she would be talking about a China. She would be talking about a Russia. The problem is, I don't know who gets to decide that, first of all. The other thing, though, is she's not... I personally think Apple should be doing more to make sure that our information is not being misused. Now, here's the thing. I have had family members taken to the cleaners over the past few years, and it was all by Americans. I mean, just, you know, slapping a this is from Russia thing on there does not mean that it's a bad guy doing it. And slapping a made in the USA label on there does not mean that it's a good guy doing it. I mean, that's kind of the problem I'm having with what she's doing. I mean, it strikes me as, a couple of things. It seems like, first of all, trying to get her name out there. So well done, Ashley Moody. Good job. And the other one is trying to score easy points, because for politicians right now, it seems either targeting tech companies or saying that you've been targeted by tech companies is just low hanging fruit as far as getting notice.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, like you said, there's definitely, you know, I just complimented Facebook, so I'm going to kind of take that compliment away now. Mm-hmm. You know, she mentioned TikTok being a national security risk, but I mean, Facebook's done that, and that's, you know, from our own homeland. So I agree. Right. Yeah, it's like a digital issue and like a technology issue, but she's trying to make it like a foreign. She's trying to make it like a versus thing.
Yeah, very much so. Facebook, born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, raised in Silicon Valley. Nothing that would have shown up in this list of things that she's talking about. Moody says the issues she raises are serious concerns that should not be overlooked by Apple. Consumers, deserve the highest level of transparency when choosing to download an application to their phones. And I think that sentiment is sound. I think anybody would agree with that statement. This can be achieved, she continues, by adding a foreign-owned and or developed designation to applications related to these countries, which feels like vilification and you know, painting with a really broad brush and not actually taking care of the bad actor thing as much as looking like you're doing something. But that, yeah, that's me. If you have a question or a comment about any of the stuff that we talked about today, we would certainly love to hear from you. Our email address is observations@macobserver.com. Observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. We are at TMO Daily there. If you want to comment on the stuff that I do for the Mac Observer, that would be neat. Both the Daily Observations podcast and the Observation Deck turn up Monday through Friday at MacObserver.com. I know you are wisely staying off the socials, Nick, but how do you want people to get in touch with you if they want to?
If you want to get a hold of me, just feel free to contact me at nick@macobserver.com.
Advertising handle by Backbeat Media. Online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to how-tos, your source for Apple news is macobserver.com.